Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.
And Elizabeth Wallace. And you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 419. And once again, no Night Vale yet, because that comes back in a couple days, actually.
I think so.
It's time this recording.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. But what we really needed to talk about was the big, big, big thing that happened, and that was GalaxyCon in North Carolina.
Yay! And, of course, a tiny little festival called San Diego Comic-Con in San Diego, I think.
Mm-hmm. That, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Yes. So, anyway, how was Comic-Con?
Yes. Your Comic-Con. Great. My Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con. Not my Comic-Con. Everybody's Comic-Con. It was great. It was exhausting. You know, it's between Wednesday preview night all the way to Sunday. So 5 days being there and so much walking. I thought it was busier on the sales floor than it's been in a while. But my friend Rob, that's my friend Natasha's husband, Rob, he pointed out, okay, so of course we didn't have Comic-Con in 2020 mm-hmm. or 2021.
Right.
2022, we were sort of getting back into it. So everybody's being very careful and, you know, everybody's a little tenuous about being around in crowds. 2023, we had the writer's strike and that affected it as well.
Oh, yeah.
So 2024 is the first Comic-Con that we have had back in a while where it's like a fully normal, everybody doing their thing. Yes, it was freaking packed.
And we should probably address the elephant in the room. And by elephant, I mean Robert Downey Jr. getting dragged back into the Marvelverse.
My goodness. So Hugh, our movie reviewer who loves everything, Hugh is pissed because he's a comic book reader and uh-huh. he likes, you know, the Kang the Conqueror storylines. He really likes what they were doing with the Kang storyline. He understands that Marvel has stepped away from that storyline because of problems with the actor. But he's just like dragging in Robert Downey Jr. to play Doom when there were so many other people who could do it. And I have to agree that it makes Marvel look a little desperate at this point.
It does. I did watch the video of the announcement, and I was definitely there with all of the fans losing their friggin' minds
yes.
when he takes yes. the Doom mask off and it's Robert Downey Jr. So that's always yes. going to be a crowd pleaser. I don't know how they're going to do any of this. I mean, I think one of my biggest feelings is I just, maybe I'm projecting, but the idea of Robert Downey Jr. being a little tired after so many years of being Tony Stark, and then they kill off his character, and he's done, he's got a wonderful send-off, fine, and now he's back. I don't want him to like feel an obligation to do this. I mean, but he's got right. all of the money now, so I would hope that if he didn't really want to do it, he wouldn't be doing it, because he can just decide, no, I don't feel like doing that.
As they used to say on the old podcast that was on, yeah, he probably tried to refuse, and then they backed up the dump truck full of money to his front door, and then he said, okay, because you know that he could have commanded, if they really wanted to do this, it's Robert freaking Downey Jr., and they'd have to, it would be a lot of money, so.
And I do think the fact that it's a variant of Tony Stark is Doom. I do find that interesting. I mean, ever since the Loki TV series, the idea that anybody could be a variant and you could just drag yes. anybody in. And so I watched the Red Letter Media discussion about the Daredevil Wolverine movie, and they yes. really liked it. And the stunt casting was one of the things that kind of delighted them in places. I mean, they yes. thought it might have been a little bit much in some places, but not in others. I feel like this sort of has the same feeling to it. It's like, well, why not, you know, Robert Downey Jr. as a variant of Doom? Because it's the multiverse. You can do anything you want now.
Yes, yes. Once again, Hugh really loved the Deadpool and Wolverine movie, but Hugh loves everything, and so I had to wait a little bit to make sure everybody else liked it. Oh my God, everybody else likes
everybody
it.
Everybody loves it. And of course, the worry now is that this is Marvel is going to decide, oh, this is what we need to do now, and they're going to keep doing that same style of movie, not realizing that, you know, it's novelty, and you can't repeat novelty. And if you ramp yeah. it up, you end up looking silly. So I think a lot of people are just hoping that they're like, okay, this is good, and you don't need to do any more to make it tired.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Marvel fatigue has really set in, obviously, for mm-hmm. me. So I'm certainly willing to see where they go with this. Like Leland says, he's kind of gotten to the point where he feels it's easier to not care very much so that he can just kind of like kick back. And I'm like, that's also true.
It's
so
also
I'm
true.
Sure it will all be interesting.
And yeah. if they've convinced yeah. Robert Downey Jr. to come back, then maybe Tom Hiddleston could be in a role, perhaps?
Maybe. Oh, my goodness. we've got multiverses. Is there a multiverse where we finally get Clintasha? Oh, could that happen?
Wow. Maybe. Oh. I don't know. Has Jeremy Renner said whether he'd be interested in doing more stuff with the Marvelverse?
I have no idea. I mean, he was never having a problem with the Marvelverse. He did perfectly well in Hawkeye. He certainly hasn't had a kind of like stepping back away from it the way like Chris Evans, Steve Rogers' character had an out, and Robert Downey Jr. had an out, but Jeremy Renner was still very much part of it, so I have no idea. Okay. I have no idea. But, oh, that would be so neat. So yeah, that was the biggest announcement at Comic-Con by far, but there was a lot of other Marvel stuff that was announced and various stuff, and one of the reasons why I don't go to the Hall H panels is you can go onto YouTube and find most of this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad we did that for Star Wars years and years ago. It was great to be able to experience Hall H in the full glory. I'm not sitting in line for 24 hours, 72 hours to get in. No, I'm sorry. There's very little that would convince me to do that.
And that is a really good segue into the fact that one of the things I didn't do this year was they have the activations outside. We talked about this last year, how it's basically if you have a tent and an area cordoned off that you have to stand in line to get to, where they'll do some skits or show you some videos or give you some fun stuff. They call it an activation. Mm-hmm. So they had tons of them outside. And my friend Wade actually went to several of them. I swear to God, at one point he was in line for 3 hours for one of these things. And you get like some pins and you see some trailers. I was frankly appalled that he even waited that long. I'm like, there is absolutely nothing that could possibly be in any of those things that's worth standing in line in the sun for 3 hours. No, not a chance.
No, and that was it an activation that you did with the second season of Good Omens?
Yes, that was technically an activation, though that was a really fancy one because that was in a bar was taken over for it, and I gotta admit, it was beautiful, and you got 2 free drinks, and there were people in cosplay, and there was music playing, and it was just gorgeously set up, and that whole business with like all of like the record shop and all that kind of stuff. Beautiful. We were in line for over 4 hours for that one. Ugh. Not even slightly worth it. Not even close. But then again, nothing could be, and that's me. That's just for me. I'm not saying that it wasn't great. It was amazing, but it wasn't worth 4 hours. And that was so much better than anything you're going to get in these tents that they've got up, set up outside the convention center. So just, if anybody's ever wondering if it's worth it, I talked to so many people who actually did do the lines. It's not worth it.
Oh, well, I saw all of the wonderful cosplay pictures that you posted on Pixelated Geek in the different galleries. And of course, all the other representatives of Pixelated Geek were there. So tons of beautiful photographs. Did you dress up at all for Comic-Con?
I did not. It's so funny. On Saturday, I was thinking about doing it. I had my Star Trek outfit, which is, you know, a nice pair of boots and a dress and everything. And I get my hair all straight and I put on my Vulcan ears. Came to the morning of and I was like, I cannot deal with the ears. I just couldn't. And I was like, and it just feels like a waste to dress up in Star Trek outfit and not put the ears on. So I was just like, screw it. And I wore, you know, t-shirt and shorts, whatever. So no, I was exceedingly lazy this year. But there were a lot of people who did a lot of really great cosplay this year. But it was a little lighter on the cosplay, I thought, this year.
I think my favorites are always going to be the Jinx cosplays, because mm-hmm. they are usually spot on. And of course, there was that lovely one from Gideon the Ninth, the whole Necromancer series. That was very good cosplay of the two of them. But yeah, so I kind of dressed up in costume to go to GalaxyCon this year.
Yes, you did! The return of the Emoji Bot! Yay! It looks so good.
Thank you. I finally got those foam feet done, and I shocked myself because I found an old pair of shoes and glued them inside and then packed everything around it with bits of foam. Those shoes did not budge from the inside of those feet for the entire time. I was even able to take stairs wearing those things.
Whoa,
and GalaxyCon was packed. Not a single person trod on those great big feet of mine. So everybody was being really careful. We had 2 people in the big exhibition hall that recognized who I was and asked for a photograph. And then Nathan spotted somebody as the 13th Doctor, I think, and asked if she would take a picture with us. And so that was, that was just, it was fun. I'm so glad I did that. It was hot outside and like, you know, long sleeves and a long pair of white jeans. Oh yeah, I had sandals with me so I could just walk somewhere without those feet on. And I carried my helmet most of the time. But Yeah, GalaxyCon is huge now. It's, you know, it was absolutely packed. And that convention center is a bit of a maze because we went in and we got our badges and we went upstairs and we wandered around the artist alley. And then we looked to see what, you know, if any of the panels were going to be interesting. And we kept looking at the maps and we couldn't find the exhibition hall. And then we found some very nice employee who worked at the convention center, asked how to get to that. And he said, okay, we got to take the stairs down and take another set of stairs and take another set of stairs. Just keep on taking stairs downstairs until you can't go any further. And then you'll see the exhibition hall, which is exactly what happened. But it was enormous. I mean, much fascinating stuff there. And everybody was being so nice. And that was probably one of the best Darth Vader cosplays I've seen that Nathan got a picture of. Guy looked to be about 7 feet tall and he had the sound effects where he was breathing the whole time. Very impressive. So, and you know, stop to take a picture. Nobody was irritated about being asked to get a picture taken. So, which is good because that's my main reason for going to these things is to see all the lovely little costumes.
It's stunning every time I go to these things, the creativity, the craftsmanship that go into some of these cosplay. And there's like all this cosplay that I don't end up getting pictures of because they're not really in cosplay. They're just, I don't know, maybe they're wearing a really neat corset, or maybe they have an excellent wig on, stuff like that. And it's just beautiful, beautiful stuff. And you're right, the sales floor at San Diego Comic-Con is one of my favorite things about it. And there was, it's just, you could spend literally 2 days doing nothing but walking up and down the aisles, and you're still probably going to miss some stuff because there's so much going on.
Yep, and we bought some things, and I won't say what because a lot of them are stocking stuffers. Okay, I'll give away this one thing. In Artist Alley, there was a guy who had nothing but coffee bean and ground coffee-themed charms and earrings and things. Ooh. So I got, like, the little, like, what is the, it's like a chemistry set flask, you know, it's just kind of a stereotypical chemistry set thing. A little teeny tiny one that had ground coffee in it as a pendant. So I got that for Mom.
Oh, beautiful. She'll love that. That's awesome.
Because Mom will have to have her coffee. Mom will make a trip to Starbucks. That is mandatory.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. That's where we get our love of coffee. And even we don't follow in Mom's footsteps nearly so well.
But yeah, lots of fun things to buy and lots of fun things to see. We didn't get into any lines for any of the celebrities, but Colleen Duran was really the one that I'd wanted to see and maybe get something signed. And I think she was still feeling bad, so she had canceled. But yeah, everything else was great. It was fantastic. I will definitely be doing that next year. And I'll know my way around better because I hadn't realized, of course, it's the same space where Oak City Comic Con used to be. They haven't had that since the pandemic. So, but, you know, as we're wandering around the exhibition hall, I'm like, oh, yeah, now I remember this place. So it's been a while.
Well, you know, you and Nathan have come out here for WonderCon once, I think. Mm-hmm. You've been out here for WonderCon once, and you've been out for Comic-Con at least twice I know of. So, I don't know, maybe next year if they don't schedule GalaxyCon on the same weekend as Comic-Con, maybe I should come out there and I'll bring the EmojiBot costume with me.
Oh, that would be fun. Yes, that would be so fun. We got to figure out ways of shipping stuff because I think that would be easier than trying to schlep that through airport security.
Agreed. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, the only one thing I wanted to mention about Comic-Con, I made it my mission this time to take pictures of every Transformer-related thing on the floor, and I have a big photo gallery that's going to be going up soon. Hopefully by the time this episode drops, it'll already be up. But I believe the name of the company is 3-0, and they had these figures. I don't believe they were transforming figures, but they were sort of smaller Transformers figures. They had a Megatron that, you know, I can usually take or leave a Megatron statue. He's not one of my guys, but wow, it's just stunningly gorgeous. So I will post pictures of that and also all the other cool, fun stuff. I actually saw these two little plushies, and it was Rumble and Frenzy. Uh-huh. And it was a booth that was sort of selling all sorts of plushies and everything. And I asked the guy if I could take a picture. He said, sure. And while I'm taking it, I said, but the question is, which one's Rumble and which one's Frenzy? Oh, my God. We got into such conversation about that, you know? Which led to the conversation about when you've got Cyclonus, which Transformer rumor which Decepticon was actually merged into Cyclonus by Unicron, because some people say it's Bombshell, which is an Insecticon, and some people say, I believe, Thundercracker, one of the Seekers, and we know we want it to be the Seekers, but some people say it's almost definitely the Insecticon, and I'm like, it's just fascinating getting these conversations with people.
It really is, yes. Well, I made Nathan stop at three different stands in the exhibition hall that had the Lego minifigures, because I wanted a Loki God of Stories, because I have a Loki from the Avengers, and I have a Loki from, I think, Thor Ragnarok, but I do not have anything from, I don't have a TVA Loki or God of Stories Loki or anything like that. They did have the kid Loki, and on his little stand, they had a teeny tiny alligator Loki, and I'm like, oh, that's so adorable. It's not my Loki, so I'm going to hold off on that, but yeah, I'm still looking for that.
Adorable. Yeah, I did see one cosplayer. It was a female Loki, so she's all, you know, sexified and everything with the big horns and everything, but she was carrying a TVA Miss Minutes bag, and I'm like, oh, I love it.
What I also would like to get, I mean, I always have to tell myself, I don't care how nice the journal is, buying another journal is not going to get me to write every day like I say I will. But if I could find somebody selling a TVA handbook in a journal form, I would buy that in a second.
Well, yeah, of course. Why wouldn't you? Wow. Okay, so moving on to other things that we've watched this week. I think I watched three more episodes of Poker Face, and you watched two more. And I think it's hard to talk about any of them without spoiling it, because they're all... It's like you pointed out, what was it that you said, that it's not a whodunit, it's how catch 'em?
Yeah, that was from an article that I read, that it's like Columbo, that you know who's done it the entire time, so the thrill of the episode is the main character having to figure it out. And with something like this, because she has this power to tell what people are lying, it's always going to be, what can she prove? And usually it's not a lot, but she can figure out ways to get the people in trouble anyway, which she did, because I watched the second episode was at the truck stop, and the third episode was the barbecue joint, whatever, that sort of thing. And I thought the barbecue one was a little sillier than the first two. It was still fun, but it was a bit sillier. Yeah. I really did like the truck stop one, and I keep seeing characters that I hope make an appearance in future episodes. Like, I loved the trucker that she talked with that told her how to avoid leaving an electronic trailer if you're on the run from somebody. She was great.
Yes.
And I liked...
She was.
I liked the radio DJ from the third episode, the one who could do all the voices.
I did too. Yes, he was so fun.
He was very fun, and he was also very... I don't know, his attitude, like, he helped her by getting a CD of the previous night's radio show, and she said, thank you, and he said, it's absolutely no problem. I can't stress enough how bored I am. I loved how he delivered that line. But now, in the third episode, she finds the dog that she absolutely can't stand that's been hurt, and she thinks it's been hit by a car. She's like, oh, she takes it into the vet, and the vet is treating it and tells her that the dog wasn't hit by a car, it was beaten by somebody with a stick of wood, because she pulled wood fragments out. Well, Charlie had been given some instructions on how to recognize different woods by flavor. So she actually starts tasting the pieces of wood. And the veterinarian, she's just talking, and in mid-sentence, she turns around, what the fuck are you doing? And I told Hannah, it is a textbook case of no small parts. And Hannah said, that probably got the biggest laugh out of her from the entire series, was that one veterinarian's line.
Oh, man. And it's... The best characters are the ones, because she's so good at, she knows when people are lying, you get these characters and their whole personality is that they always tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And she always finds that so refreshing. It just delights her. Even if it's somebody being kind of rude or whatever, she's like, I really appreciate the honesty, you know? And it's just, they do that over, they could be, you know, very blunt with their honesty, or they could be honestly, like, very nice and straightforward. She might have to coax them to being honest, or that could be just their whole personality. There's so many different ways for these people to be honest. And it's always just, like, in the truck stop episode, her car, of course, breaks down. She takes it to this mechanic, and he's like, well, we're going to have to get a part for you, so we're looking at about $400. And she's like, and he said, no, that's a good price. She said, no, I totally know you're telling the truth. It's refreshing, because she didn't have to worry that he was screwing her over, and he didn't. He's a mechanic who automatically quoted her exactly what it was going to cost.
And it was funny, because it felt like they were hinting that the murderer in that one episode two, had a little bit of the same power that she did, because he like called bullshit on a couple of people. So it's obviously one of those things, like, he wasn't able to use that power for good. And I did like how they misled you a little bit, because you thought somebody was going to get stabbed at the beginning of that movie, and it was not the person that I thought it was.
Nope. They have led us down the garden path a few times. You're right. So, and I like that. I do. But it's funny. I feel like there was one other time when that's happened, where there's somebody who has a little bit of that ability or some other type of ability. I can't remember it off the top of my head right now, but I don't know, in a world where somebody could basically have what almost amounts to a magic power, you feel like we're going to see this happen again at some point.
Yeah, I think so. So how does the fourth episode compare with the first three?
I like it. There's a character in there that I just found very fun. And it's a really... It's interesting how everything kind of the pieces move around to fit together, just like every other episode. I can't say anything due to spoilers, but no, I enjoyed that one. I really did. And I think I liked it maybe a little more than the third one. I really genuinely enjoyed it. It was good.
Yeah.
Very much enjoying it. And now last thing we're going to talk about is the fact that you have watched another few episodes of the second season of Mayor of Kingstown.
Yes. And I don't understand how Mike hasn't gotten killed yet by some people, because his solution to the fact that there was nobody in power in the gangs at the prison anymore was to call together a gathering of the gang leaders outside the prison and then have them all arrested so they could get taken in. I'm like, you are messing with some really dangerous people that are probably not going to forgive you, even if you manage to get them released as fast as he said he was, which isn't happening because, of course, the DA is all doing a victory lap about this great big bust of these gang leaders. So it's not like he's going to turn around and let them go, even though that's what he's supposed to. I don't know, but it was I was surprised that Mike was willing to do that to Bunny, because Bunny's been like the closest thing he has to a friend in a lot of these episodes. And now Bunny like missed getting murdered in a big riot by this much, and he's freaking out. And it's interesting to see Bunny freaking out like that to realize his own mortality. So yeah, that's where we are. And now, of course, they've transferred everybody out of Tent City to different prisons. So the next episode is going to be Mike having to try to figure out where Bunny is at this point.
Speaking of a lot of moving pieces. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
And of course, Iris is back working for Milo and being professional and being traumatized. And I have seen some people complain that she's kind of a single note character now, which is a shame, but I'm hoping that switches around a little bit, because of course Mike doesn't know where she is because she left and went back to Milo, and they never did address how she knew where to find Milo, because he was like in the basement of a church somewhere.
I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure that's ever addressed.
Okay.
I don't think that it may just be a plot point that we don't need to pay attention to. So
it could be one of those things that there was a series of safe houses that she knew to check and that happened to be one of them. Who knows?
Sure. Sounds good. Yeah, I'm at least one episode behind on the third season. Like I said, you know, the last episode I saw was enjoyable. Still not as good as the first season, but it's enjoyable. So I'm interested to see if they wrap the series up this year, or if we'll actually get more after this.
Yeah, Jeremy Renner's being a little tight-lipped about that as well. So he said he would love to do season four, but he has to survive the third season. Like, oh, great.
Yeah. That would be a way to bring the show to an end. Actually, come to think of it, I do have one last thing to say. I did finally finish watching the final season of Star Trek Discovery.
And?
It's fine.
Okay.
It's really just, I don't know. I mean, the production values are super high. And I think the acting can be a little changeable here and there. And I think the story... I think the dialogue is good. Like, I have a problem with shows where it's a perfectly good story, but the dialogue sucks. The dialogue, I think, can be very good in this show. I just never really cared about the story. And then they get to the end, and there's kind of like an epilogue where what they do is they connect the end of this to a short series, I'm not sure which, of Star Trek, whose name I can't remember, that very few people actually watched, but that sort of ties up the very end to be picked up again in like 1,000 years. And I went, okay, fine. But I had to look that up because I had no idea what was going on.
I think it's interesting that I've been getting the Facebook memories of our trip to San Diego Comic-Con from, I think, 7 years ago. And one of the things we did was do the Star Trek Discovery Experience. And there's pictures of me and Nathan and then you and me in the captain's chair. So it's like, it brings it all around a full circle. How long ago did Discovery actually end that you're finally catching up on it now?
Well, it's probably over a year considering how long it takes us to watch anything.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's been a little while. So, and I'm like, I got my Paramount membership back so that I could watch Mayor of Kingstown, but I've been using it to watch Star Trek. So now I need to finish up Picard and, I don't know, maybe Strange New Worlds, but then there's also Lower Decks and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, I don't know. I mean, I don't put Star Trek into the Marvel fatigue category, but I guess I'm a little tired as well.
I've heard several people addressing the fact that YouTube is taking up a bigger and bigger share of people's video watching time. And that seems to be where it is, which is, I don't know, it's kind of making me a little worried that they're going to start trying to put series on YouTube, like actual, you know, network TV series on there. And I don't know how that would work. I don't know if that would affect the monetization of all the people who are already there. I understand monetization can be a little hit or miss anyway. Certainly the Red Letter Media people joke about getting demonetized all the time. And there's apparently rules about you can't have profanity in the first, I don't know how many minutes of your video, or you get demonetized. It's just a little slapdash, I think.
Yeah, I don't understand how any of that works. If you want to find out how that works, you can go follow the Greg from How to Drink, his Patreon. And apparently they talk about that on the Discord all the time.
Oh, really? Oh, man. Yeah. And I feel bad about not watching his videos right away, because apparently that does affect his numbers when he doesn't get enough viewership right away. But I want to have a tasty beverage when I'm watching something like that. And I'm not going to do that at 11 in the morning. So it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and that people have pointed that out before, you know, certain series that don't end up doing well because they say, oh, you know, people didn't watch it fast enough, or if it's comic books and series, they didn't read it fast enough. And I thought, maybe we need to get away from this whole payment system where viewers have to be guilted into watching it immediately. I want to be able to watch it when I want to watch it.
That's the whole point of having on-demand stuff now. It's not like it used to be, where if you didn't watch something at the set amount of time, you were out of luck. You can watch it at your convenience. Let's not take the convenience away with guilt.
No, let's not. But I guess that's a good place to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. So that'll wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews and movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. Mm-hmm. So we already have one photo gallery up for every day of Comic-Con, but that's just the first of those. So we will have more coming in from Alex and from Lauren, and I believe Ariana. I hadn't heard from Ariana. I think she made it this year. I'm not sure. But I also would like to do a photo gallery of friends of pixelatedgeek.com, because a lot of my friends were there and some of them took amazing pictures, and maybe they'll let me post them to the site.
And Nathan has quite a few pictures as well, so we might end up doing a GalaxyCon photo gallery as well. That would be nice.
Yes, you should, because there was some really good stuff there.
I particularly like the picture Nathan got of me collapsed against the wall drinking a soda in my Emoji Bat costume. That was fun.
That was fun. Anyway, all that and more at pixelatedgeek.com. So next week we will have Night Vale back again.
Yes, finally. And yes, we will definitely be watching some more episodes of Mayor of Kingstown and Poker Face, because I want to get those episodes caught up as soon as I can, which is like when it hasn't been 5 years after the friggin' thing has already been out.
God, yes. Speaking of which, we also need to catch up on the John Wick movies, since we found out that those are very good. And maybe since we want to watch the Deadpool movie, maybe we should watch Logan at some point, because apparently the Deadpool and Wolverine movie does some deep cuts. So it might be a good idea to watch anything Wolverine related.
Yes. And I still haven't ever watched the first two Deadpool movies. So maybe I should get on that.
I don't know. I think my friend Lauren didn't watch the first two and she saw the third and she really liked it. So you might not have to. So. Those things were other things. There's no way we're going to get all of that accomplished, but we'll get some of those accomplished. So one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later. We probably ought to get going on, I'm not going to say that because I don't want to give away the fact that. So let me try that again.